Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiT, This Week in Computer Hardware, episode 152, recorded January 11th, 2011, live from CES 2012.
This episode of This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to TWiT, This Week in Computer Hardware. Well, actually, we're live from CES. Ryan Shroud joining me as always, the man, the myth, who is not benchmarking this week. Not this week. And actually, a special treat, adult supervision, Ayaz Akhtar.
Yeah, adult supervision, that's a stretch of that phrase.
I was going to say, have you ever been called that before? Adult supervision? Are you usually the responsible one keeping things in check?
If anything, I need a chaperone, so this is going to be a fun show.
Okay, I'm going to be the adult supervision, and you all know what that means. Safety goggles, earplugs, and as much blood as we can keep inside of our bodies. You know what? Lots to talk about.
Yep.
Thunderbolt, gesture control, the future of the Ultrabook. But we should probably, because our friends at NVIDIA basically have to run off with this.
Right.
Let's talk about Windows 8, Microsoft demoing on, basically Windows 8 ARM is running on Tegra 3 processors.
Yes. Microsoft was demoing Windows 8 on ARM hardware, and it was a Tegra 3 processor that they were doing it on. This is actually Ice Cream Sandwich.
I'm so sorry.
Running on it. But it's the same hardware. I mean, it can be the same hardware. Here we go. And then let me see the screen. There we go. So if we put it, I think they had a camera angle on it right here.
And it's a product shot right
here. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, there we go. That looks pretty good.
Sorry to everyone in the chat room.
So this is the ASUS Transformer Prime running Ice Cream Sandwich. If you have one of these already, you can go download Ice Cream Sandwich update as of like yesterday or 2 days ago. So I think this is the first tablet to have it. And they will start shipping from the factory with ICS in like... 7 days, they're saying.
It's a snappy performer.
It's very fast now. So this is kind of cool. So you can see we're moving through stuff pretty quick. There's some UI changes and all that, of course. I should note this is the 1280 by 800 resolution one.
Right.
And ASUS announced a new one. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's see if I can reach over here.
And the animations look really snappy on this.
Yeah. And here's what's kind of more impressive about that. We can run, let me see if I can move this a little bit so I can see it. They're demoing some pretty impressive games. You'll notice that there's a game controller connected to this.
Via USB.
And you can use PlayStation or Xbox, apparently. And so you can do this now, and it looks really good. We're talking like PlayStation 1, almost PlayStation 2 style graphics quality. On Tegra 3 processors. And because of Ice Cream Sandwich, you get some of the benefits of much, much better multitasking. So we've got this in here. I'll pretend to know what I'm doing here and playing. Oh, there, I closed it out. But here's what's cool. So we can snap through around all this. And the game is still running in the background. And it resumes pretty quick.
Wow, it almost looks like that sequence is short and things should be at the bottom.
Right.
It's just going really fast.
Well, they keep talking about like 5 cores, offloading the mouse input or the touchpad input to an actual... I guess they were moving that off onto the 5th core instead of using a discrete chunk of silicon for that.
Right.
You know, gaming performance, accessibility. I mean... Windows 8 is not everywhere here, but it is anybody who's involved with computers here, Windows 8 has been a big part of anything they're demonstrating.
So how long before we see somebody actually dual booting Android and Windows 8 on something like this? I mean, it looks like it's handling Ice Cream Sandwich quite well, and Windows 8 can handle it.
I've heard like at least three major PC manufacturers tell me at this point, we'll be shipping with Windows 8. That release date is being set by Microsoft. And literally, so, you know, the Lenovo Yoga, which is this fantastic flip tablet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
We're going to talk about Thunderbolt. We should probably just go ahead and talk about sort of Intel and the...
Hold on, one more thing before we move past this.
You were killed.
Perish. Good timing on that. So this is the 1280 by 800 version of that. ASUS announced an updated version. They still call it the Transformer Prime, which I think is a mistake. They should maybe call it the HD or something. It's a TF700T.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is it moves from a 1280 by 800 screen on a 10-inch screen to a 1920 by 1200 resolution.
Wow.
On the same
size. Is that the one they were doing the demo on stage with?
No, at NVIDIA, they were still using the 1280 okay. by 800. And what I got to play with the new 19 by 12 model, and you talk about pixel density, it's about double.
Wow.
Right, on that. So you zoom in on the text on a web page, it looks awesome.
Were there
cool.
any other
really
hardware
does.
Changes to the thing, to the Prime, not HD, whatever it's called again?
The front camera has changed from 1.2 megapixel to 2 megapixel.
Nice.
They say it's for, like, you can do HD video conferencing now. And then they actually changed the back plate. So if you notice on this one, which is kind of disappointing, you can see this, it has, like, this kind of brushed finish.
Right.
They actually changed it to more of a plastic back because of some interference issues with GPS radio.
Oh, interesting.
And that kind of thing. So that'll be available in Q2, the updated version, and it'll be like $100 more.
An ice cream sandwich if you have a Transformer Prime available now.
Yes. Yeah, if you have one of those, it's available now.
Funny thing is, we were looking that up like on Best Buy yesterday, and it was already sold out.
Yeah.
Like, trying to get the Transformer Prime, it's already a hit. I mean, it's just a nice piece of hardware.
I think it's easily the most popular Android tablet.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the best performing, one of the best looking ones.
It's got to be like the versatility with that thing. I mean, it's almost like an ultrabook at certain points.
With the dock,
yeah.
You get, you know, you're talking 17, 18 hours of battery life out of it. So,
I mean, and that's it's kind of funny. It's one thing we haven't heard from all the notebook vendors here is like everybody, all the big notebooks are basically stuck at 6 to 10 hours. And I say stuck as somebody who, you know, is absolutely thrilled to get six
right.
hours out of a notebook after after the past two notebooks I owned before my last MacBook Air, this MacBook Air. But it's been interesting to watch. It's been strange to watch. Booth after booth, I see the influence of Microsoft's Kinect.
Yep.
And everybody's now talking about gesture, especially Intel built this. It seemed like half of Intel's presentation and press day on Monday where they're like ultrabooks, you know, we're doing ultrabooks next year, we got ultrabooks, they're getting bigger next year because we found out people wanted bigger ultrabooks. They're not getting thinner, but the screens are getting bigger. And it was like, but the whole thing was like, we don't want to talk speeds and feeds. Our
they
customers
didn't
do don't
that.
Care about speeds and feeds. Our customers, they want to know what the product's going to do for us. So I say Muli Eden, I think, was doing the presentation.
Yep.
And then they get out, and you're kind of sitting there because they do, you know, the guy of the history of the dance comes out with a whole bunch of, like, the history of technology, and then there's, like, we're not talking about the technological accomplishment or the speeds and feeds. And it's like, okay, what are we talking about? The future of the interface, and what's that going to be? So Ultrabook is now going to have touchscreen. Whoa, okay, that's weird. And then they start demonstrating
yeah.
touchscreen. And Ultrabook's going to have voice recognition, so they bring out the partner to talk about basically like the drag and dictate people are going to bring voice control to Intel's Ultrabooks. That's great. And then they bring out the Slingshot demo where the guy's basically using hand motions to control
right.
a game, and then all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know, Intel doesn't want to talk about, well, actually what Intel wants to talk about is making sure you need more processing power because they've finally given you enough processing power to change the interface, which I don't think anybody was thinking about until Microsoft sold 10 million Kinects and then the developer community went nuts to developing applications
right.
for it. And all of a sudden, it's like Samsung, you know, LG, Panasonic, everything I see involving HDTVs is they've got somebody waving to, I'm going to change the channel because this is so much easier than using a remote. And it's just been funny to see
it's
that
very crude
everywhere
right now.
On the show far.
It's crude right now, but I think
right.
it will improve.
Yeah.
Right. So Microsoft announced, that was their big announcement here at the show, was Kinect for the PC.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to hack your Kinect from the Xbox.
But don't you need another piece? You need a different Kinect for this SDK, don't you? You can't use this one, the stock one, out of the Xbox.
That is correct.
That seems a little bit strange. I mean, people were using the Kinect anyway right now, and they were hacking things to work.
Right.
Do you know why they had to change, why you have to buy a specific Kinect for Windows?
So apparently they changed the hardware for the inclusion of a near mode, which allows it to focus closer. Then that was kind of obviously the complaint of the Kinect
deal.
There. And apparently it also has a shorter USB cable. And it's a smaller physical unit. So, you know, I guess when you're working on a monitor as opposed to a TV, you need to have that near mode in order to, you know, be able to gesture in front of a screen like that.
Right.
And then, it's $249. A little bit steep, I guess, to just kind of play around with stuff that may not have a function quite yet. But it's really interesting how the hardware side of things is catching up to that. So
yeah, it's been funny. I mean, Thunderbolt also. I never really expected to be at CES, but every hardware vendor has been demonstrating Thunderbolt.
That just seems like it goes hand-in-hand with Ultrabooks. You lose all the ports on your computer.
Right.
You're going to need one really, really fast one. Like I saw the Belkin Thunderbolt dock, and I was actually somewhat excited. Things like the first one has an HDMI out, gigabit Ethernet, audio jacks, a pass-through for Thunderbolt. It had everything you need because you don't need to have a proprietary docking station anymore with Thunderbolt. And I was glad to see that.
I saw that Belkin, and it was pretty steep in price, though.
$299.
Yeah, for essentially a dock.
I've got a less expensive product for you. Seagate has brought out GoFlex, a GoFlex adapter for $99.
Okay.
And then a desk version for $149. They also have something that
does
actually...
Does it have, like, HDMI and other type functionality?
No. Well, they basically have a GoFlex adapter where you plug your GoFlex hard drive into their...
Okay.
You know how you would swap it, but it also... So it uses the Thunderbolt power for the 2.5-inch drives. And then they're also doing a desktop version that'll handle a couple... Or they're doing a desktop version. And they also announced... something they announced last year, but it's finally coming to fruition for them a little bit, is the USM, the Universal Storage Module. So they basically went to the SATA I/O Commission and gave away the IP for basically the external SATA connector and the sort of drive enclosure size, with the idea that they're actually going to be able to... Multiple vendors now looking at building, like, you know, remember when HP did the, like, we got the big slot in the front, you can put your external drive into it, and you, if you bought one, and then you could never buy another one because they stopped making them. And the idea is here is to actually have an industry standard for a 2.5-inch drive enclosure. And actually, Lenovo released an enclosure, and I want to say either Acer or Asus is doing 5.25-inch drive bay converters that allow you to directly plug your now standard, open, available through the SATA I/O group hard drive enclosure directly into it, so you don't even have to screw around with having an external adapter, and you can plug it directly into the SATA ports
that's
that are available
nice.
On your motherboard. So,
you know, something else I saw, if we bring up my screen over here, we're looking at external Thunderbolt accessories all over the place. This is one that OCZ showed us. It's called Lightfoot, which, you know, kind of play on words there. Thunderbolt external SATA drive. This is actually an SSD, a SATA SSD that connects through Thunderbolt. It has two SATA controllers inside, and it has they're rating at speeds up to 750 megabytes per second.
Wow.
And up to 1 terabyte as well. 128, 256, 512 gig, 1 terabyte storage. They're talking about prices about $2 per gig.
Mm-hmm.
So for 1 terabyte drive, it's going to cost you $2,000.
But it's going to be a glorious drive.
Now, one of the things that's beneficial about Thunderbolt that I didn't really know is, so it is a PCI Express extension. You don't have a lot of the latencies and synchronization issues that you do with USB communication protocols. So you can basically, if you're a high-end pro video editor, audio editor, you can edit straight off of this drive in real time, and it will not be affected by any of those types of issues.
That's a good thing.
The downside of this is they don't have a Thunderbolt pass-through on it, so this has to be your terminating device.
Are they taking the power off the Thunderbolt chain?
They are.
That usually, if you're taking power off the Thunderbolt chain,
that's
it has to
the
be the terminal. Which also, somebody was talking about that yesterday, and I was sitting there, and I was just like, oh gosh, this reminds me of SCSI. I don't want to talk about chaining drives in order ever again. Actually, you know who else is here who does have a pass-through on their enclosure is IOSafe's demonstrating a new Thunderbolt, kind of their extreme Thunderbolt version of the IOSafe drive. And if you get a chance, we shot some video with them this morning. They brought in Dr. Megavolt. If you've never seen it, is a guy with a like 12-foot-high, million-volt Tesla coil.
Okay.
And so IOSafe is the rugged external enclosure.
Right.
And they actually, you know, they built a special cap to ground the IOSafe rugged portable drive, ground the port so they wouldn't have a voltage stream between them. And he holds it up and he hits it. There's this like freaking 3/4-inch thick spark going through the drive. It works. One of the journalists that was in attendance had his personal IOSafe rugged drive, gave it to them. They ran it without the cap. And it actually, the external enclosure actually conducted the electricity and protected the chips inside the drive. So they actually had a sort of, because the one they're demonstrating is like, we built this, you know, we'll build you one if you think you're going to be exposed to gigantic megavolts for your drive.
Right.
We'll sell you our custom-made cap to protect it, to ground out your drive. But in this case, the guy did it without the cap. Drive survived, which I was really impressed, because they're they're pricey, but they're really tough to kill.
Is that a scenario you find yourself often in where you are just hanging out with people who are firing? Well, up, like, I guess you're hanging out with Electro.
Patrick,
you
know, more often Spider-Man. Than most of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was sitting there, like, one of the guys I was talking with said that. I said, you know, it's just, you know, I met a guy who lives up in the Selkirks up in Idaho, and he was like, yes, I carry, you know, there's a 45-70, a big, giant gun. It's big holes. He's like, there's grizzlies up here. They occasionally try to kill dogs. He's like, I'd rather have enough gun than too little gun. In this case, you might want to have too much hard drive rather than not enough. Yeah, is it a silly demo? Absolutely. Does it make spectacular video? Absolutely. Is it cool to know that you can, you know, accidentally miswire your driver? Because I know people who've had everything in their house fried because Pacific Gas and Electric accidentally ran wrong phase current, 440 volt current through their house wiring system. They took out almost a city block once.
Now, another Thunderbolt accessory that we're going to show here is actually the MSI. They pronounce it GUS. I think it's more fun to call this the MSI Gus. This is the MSI Gus 2 external Thunderbolt graphics upgrade system.
Ooh.
So this is a dock that you basically have the capability to install a discrete graphics card in, connect to a PC through Thunderbolt. And
I can hear
it just works.
The theme from The Man of La Mancha right now to Dream the Impossible Dream. Because like every other year, we have a new potential external graphics adapter that's going to allow us to upgrade notebook graphics or add in more. Like, do you think it's going to, will it work? Will it ship? When's PC Per testing it?
So here's what they're telling me. Hardware is done.
Oh.
Hardware is done. The issue is on the software side.
Their hardware is done, not hardware as an industry is done.
Right, right. Their hardware is done in that they're ready. It's because essentially this is just a dumb box, right? It's a PCI Express port with a power cable, and you go that way, right? But the drivers are the issue. Even in Windows, the issue is that you need to make sure the system knows how to handle this type of connection. It's going through a different controller, even though it's supposed to emulate PCI Express. It's not just PCI Express. You're going through like a Eagle Ridge or whatever it's controller from Intel to that. And there's just a little bit of driver tweaking. But they had it up and running. They had it hooked up to a MacBook Pro that was and had Windows installed on it.
Oh, wow.
And they were running a DX11 Heaven benchmark on it. And it was working fine. There's a couple limitations. 150 watts is the maximum for this casing, so you're not going to be able to install that new 7970 we talked about last week.
Like all the cool graphics cards are off the list,
right? But it's you can get a lot of cards under 150 watts that are going to be more powerful,
right,
than whenever you get, and especially when we start talking about all these ultrabooks that all of the current ones at least don't have any kind of discrete graphics from NVIDIA or AMD.
Yeah, it's like with all due respect to the Intel demo, the standard ultrabook graphics are not nearly as impressive as they claim they are.
Now, MSI tried this a while ago. I saw it's something an external graphics solution.
Yep.
I think it was with a particular manufacturer. I want to say it was either HP or their own MSI stuff. And that was all proprietary. And I can see why that failed. But this is going to be Thunderbolt. And this software is, if that's the only sticking point, we're just talking, a matter of time. But doesn't that mean that wouldn't companies just introduce their own externals instead of going, okay, here's a dumb box?
Yes. I'm sure that people would want to do that. So you'd probably see Dell and HP and those guys come out with their own kind of external Thunderbolt system. I don't care, as long as you can install a discrete kind of standard PCI Express graphics card.
Right.
People want that upgradable experience in a notebook for gaming, whether or not they're stationary. You can take it with you, leave it at home. You know, you take your MacBook Air, you take whatever it is, your Ultrabook. When you get home, you plug in that Thunderbolt cable. Maybe you get the Belkin dock, and you get the graphics card in the second port. And now you're not really compromising on that experience anymore.
Right.
So it's pretty impressive. And they told me the price of this box would be like $150.
Wow,
and that's almost as much as a Thunderbolt cable, which is unfortunate. I want to take a quick shout out here to NewTek TriCaster for helping us out. We are using the TriCaster 850 here, 24-channel system. Basically allows us, the Twit group, to park a giant semi-truck inside the studio hall
here.
It's
like having it, but it fits under the table. Right now Alex is over there, and the tables aren't that big, so it's a small device. It's a very compact thing. We love using that.
Twit uses TriCasters for their studio production back home in Petaluma. They're using it here for mobile production, broadcast, live stream projects, record HD video. A lot of people that just use TriCasters to record straight to tape, that type of thing, ease up on editing. So we really appreciate their help with the 850 here. And if you want to find out more about TriCaster, go to newtek, newtek.com. N-E-W-T-E-K.
.com. A crazy shot. Oh, there it is. We actually have a live shot of the TriCaster under the desk. This is live right now. That's what you saw. You saw Brent running over.
If we get disconnected, something happened. Somebody stepped on a cable.
Yeah, so pretty much everything that used to fit in a giant like truck, that is it. Right there.
Yes. It's really impressive and way cheaper than that semi-truck full of equipment, too.
Yes. And a lot easier to run.
There you go. All those cables to support the three of us in here sitting up here talking about
cables. Well, more cable and wires.
Yeah, other cables and wires.
Go figure. We want to talk about the X1 hybrid demo video.
Yeah, that's so in the onslaught of ultrabooks, this was kind of one of the first ultrabooks to be announced. This is the X1 hybrid. This is interesting in that Lenovo has combined traditional x86 hardware with ARM hardware the same system. Now, what you do is you're in Windows, essentially. There's a menu that comes up. I think they call it Lenovo Media Mode. And what we can do is, let's see if this will actually, maybe. Yeah, if I full screen this now, it's going to have to rebuffer, isn't it?
Probably. That's a nice little failing of YouTube. I got to see the X1 in person, and it's a very interesting product.
I don't know how appealing it's going to be. Because the ARM hardware does its own thing. You've been going to a media mode, essentially. Right. It puts the Windows hardware to sleep, the Windows OS to sleep. And then you boot into a Linux OS, you know, an open source Linux OS type thing where you can browse the internet, you can watch videos, listen to music, and that kind of stuff. It's very similar to the splash top style implementations and motherboards that I never utilized.
Well, the thing about it I thought would be interesting if they could implement it right. Like, you're not actually like dual booting, you're not going back and rebooting.
Right.
It's actually within the Windows mode. So you have to start up Windows. There's a little, like, I guess, like a widget with links where you can go ahead and click. The Lenovo X1 was quite good at putting Windows to sleep, even when we ran like a bunch of programs.
Right.
Tom and I were testing that at Unveiled. And when it moves into that system on a chip mode, what's more irritating to me is it's locked down to 16 gigabytes of space. And your media better be on there. Your browser is not synced to the Windows browser. So you have this kind of insulated experience. You gain a couple of hours. It just seems like they could have done a little bit better with it. But it's an interesting idea.
It's funny to see that when you look at like the Nikiski concept with clear touchscreen, right? So it was originally announced, I want to say, back at the Taiwan show.
Computex.
And then they actually had it running, Intel's demo. So if you haven't seen it, right, it's clamshell notebook. They've substituted a clear capacitive touchscreen for where you would normally have the touchpad.
Well, it's actually all the way across.
All the way across, right.
It's a palm rest, too.
It's a palm rest. So your two palms are down. It's smart enough, apparently, to not try to move your mouse.
Nice.
You know, it works as a touchpad. You close it, and then it's basically using the Windows 8 tiles so you can keep an update. You can watch your Twitter feed. You'll be able to click into things. If you need the full computer, you open it up, and you can, you know, do computing stuff. And it's so funny because Intel's working so hard to minimize the power consumption of the CPU. And we talk about this all the time. The biggest power consumer in your notebook is your screen, not your CPU. I think this is a wonderful engineering project that somebody came up with, but I don't really buy into the idea that people are going to be like, "Woo! I'm getting 15 hours of battery life instead of 8 hours of battery life because I'm in ARM mode listening to my MP3 player when you could just use your cell phone."
Right.
I'm sorry, Lenovo.
I'm just thinking about the other.
I did love the Lenovo Yoga, though.
Remember the Microsoft, I think it was Sideshow or Slideshow? I always mix it up.
Yeah.
But they had a second display, so you could do the same kind of thing. You could see your emails and things.
Yeah.
And theoretically, we'd use less battery.
It was on
battery.
The back of the screen, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was. It just didn't take off. I thought that was a better idea than that see-through part, because you still are using that very large screen.
How often are you just carrying your laptop with it not open, right? That's like, am I going to pull my laptop out of my bag to see if I have notifications?
It's like an airport thing. You just kind of go, oh.
But I can actually, it's funny, because Intel moved to an all-notebook computing environment long before any other major corporation did. Because they're Intel, and, you know, they make a lot of chips. They have deals. But I constantly find myself, like, part of the reason I have the giant X on my notebook is there's a bunch of people with MacBook Airs in my office, and this is how I make sure, because there was an incident where somebody, like, took my MacBook, and we all had white MacBooks, and left the office, and it was 3 hours before I got my computer back. So the big X is on here. But I'm constantly holding my, I've got my notebook, I'm moving around, I'm carrying it, and the idea that you can actually look at it and see what's going on is interesting.
So you fit their,
I may, but what if I find out if I close the laptop, they're using the entire screen, and it's like I have my notebook running the entire time, and I get 3 hours of battery life with my Nikiski super window
of
joy.
That'd be yoga then, right?
And that's like the, I mean, that was funny because it's, that was, you know, another thing they brought up in the Intel keynotes is the touchscreens and Intel apparently they got out their anthropologists and their marketing people and they did a study and the study said a bunch of people don't want to buy Ultrabooks because they think 13.3-inch screens are too small. So 50% of the Ultrabooks that are going to ship in 2012 are going to be 14 or 15-inch screens.
Right.
It's like, whoa. And you're looking at the Yoga coming out with Windows 8. And it's an absolutely gorgeous screen, and it's touchscreen. So it's like, that's like, okay, now finally I understand how maybe Windows 8 won't suck, because my initial experience with Windows 8 on a desktop or a non-touchscreen computer was just like, okay, so they're walking away from the desktop environment, me as a user. Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see, like, you know, all you got to do is upgrade your notebook to a brand new touchscreen model, and you'll enjoy all the luxurious features of Windows 8. So, and Intel is here to sell hardware.
Yeah, sure. I think I didn't know about the Lenovo Yoga. It's got a 360-degree patented hinge.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You can just take your
you
monitor.
Want to demonstrate on this?
I could try. So often I try to push this further than the actual angle. That's not a problem with the Yoga. You just turn it over. It'll go over like a book, right? And so you can actually hold it. And when it snaps over to that side, your keyboard is no longer functional, which is good because
right.
you might be able to place it down. Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool device. And that's exactly, like, that happens to me. Like, I'll walk around with my laptop, and sometimes you just want to hold it this way because we had some footage of it.
That's pretty cool.
It's an interesting way to
What's the size of the screen on that?
I want to say 14.
Okay.
But, yeah, so the keys don't work. And you don't want to put that thing down very often, right? You're going to get grit and grime on it. Unless it has, like, feet. I would hope it had feet
right.
on the inside. But it's a really, I like, because of all this touchscreen stuff, and we have the opportunity to get new form factors, because a lot of this stuff is kind of like, okay, how often can you do a clamshell?
Right.
We've seen the clamshell forever.
Since the laptop existed.
But I like my clamshell. It's useful. I mean, it's also funny because, like...
But did we move away from clamshell phones? Eventually we did.
And we may well. And as Intel would like to tell you, because we put enough power inside the device, we can allow you to move away from the keyboard and the traditional clamshell design, right? But the other thing is, like, it's funny seeing Dell basically not really debuting here, but demonstrating
XPS
I forgot to put the link
13.
In. The XPS 13, yeah. Which I was hands-on with yesterday. And
did you see the HP Envy 14 as well?
I've seen a picture.
Is that the one that was codenamed the Spectre?
It is the Spectre. Yeah. All glass design,
really?
Glass front.
Glass back?
Glass back of the screen. It looks a lot like an iPhone 4 in that, you know, you get the black kind of glass looking there. So it's obviously very easy to take photos of. And then I think... got a little bit of a video here, but let's see. It's not as thin as the MacBook Air. It's not as thin as a lot of the other machines out there.
Right.
It's one of the things that they show on here. I wonder if I can find it. They have a hinged jaw on the gigabit Ethernet port.
Oh, wow.
So that they can still have a gigabit Ethernet port I think it's 0.78 inches. And, of course, it's got Beats Audio, man.
So it has a lot of glass. It also has glass the palm rest as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's glass on the palm rest as well. I'm not sure about that, if that's great or not.
It's got
DisplayPort, HDMI, USB 3, and gigabit Ethernet on this on this really thin Ultrabook. And it's really nice looking. $1,399.
It's good looking.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of hardware.
They claim that Gorilla Glass is supposed to be able to handle your wear and tear better,
right.
apparently. And they also presented the idea that, since it's not metal there, it helps with the wireless communications. Now, whether that's true or not, it's actually not a bad idea.
I'm a fan of Gorilla Glass, but I have already broken two Gorilla Glass backs by dropping it, which is why I normally have like
lifeproof
case in there. But it's funny to also see Gorilla Glass here demonstrating and making sure that everybody knows, because I think they were just kept in the closet for long.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my goodness, you know, Apple used us, and then Apple gave it, you know, all of a sudden they're in here and like, yeah, you can work with us too. We have cool stuff. Watch us do terrible things to glass with a ball bearing and not break it.
But see, how often are you throwing ball bearings? I drop it on the floor, and that's when it breaks.
Right. I agree.
Gorilla Glass 2, they have that. They're doing that demo with the ball bearing. It's supposed to be 20% thinner. It's supposed to be a little lighter. It's supposed to be able to be on curved surfaces a lot easier. And larger and smaller form factors. So that's what I'm interested in.
You notice the lovely iFixit clear back on this? It's because I actually need Gorilla Glass like 0.5 or 0 that is thicker.
I need the bulletproof
glass. Because, you know, if you drop it from 3 feet, it will crack.
Yeah. Yes, my wife has done that a couple times as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corsair Obsidian 550D case. $149. Is it pretty? Is it shiny? What makes it different?
It's actually a really nice case for $150. Corsair's kind of made a big push into the case market. Surprisingly, a couple of years ago, they came out with the Obsidian Series 800D, and all of a sudden they were a big hit. This one has like a double hinging front door that they're showing there now. You can open it on either side. It has a really cool functionality. So it's built for both low noise and kind of high performance. You get to choose.
Right.
When we go up in the video here, if we scroll a little bit to the side, what you'll see is, you'll see the side panel's solid there, but there's a removable panel that's just like kind of a hinge. You push it in. It's got a spring-loaded thing there. And behind that are some fan openings. And then the fan filter on that is actually attached just by magnets. So you just peel it off, vacuum it, push it back in. So yeah, see, there it is, removing the panel. And it's got sound dampening material on the inside.
That actually is my official favorite part of this case, the fact that it's magnetic and they don't have to pry it out.
Magnetic on the front, on the top and on the side panels, so you know, you get to kind of choose whether or not you want to go low noise, high performance mode on that. And again, it's $150, which is still kind of expensive for a lot of people for cases for a computer, but it's much more manageable than their. I think they launched at $300 for the original Obsidian and stuff like that. So
it's funny. And Cooler Master is also here.
Yes, they showed they've been showing that Cosmos 2, that one. I don't know if we talked about it last week, but it's like 47 pounds,
right,
with nothing in it, and they call it Ultra ATX or something like that.
Right.
It's enormous. We did a video of it with like it sitting on a table next to me, and it dwarfed me.
The 300-pound heatsink of doom. It was also funny to see it at one of they do the evening shows where they have a whole bunch of vendors come together to bring in the presses, press bait, if you will. And unfortunately, I don't have the business card with me, but they're building basically overclocked, refrigerated, water-cooled, like 7 degrees Celsius. Like really cold stuff, fairly high and stuff, but it's like, these are 3,000 to 5,000 custom gaming PCs, and the super chilled out water cooling can easily run $2,000 to $3,000 once they have it configured and set up for you. So, if you have a lot of money and have no interest in building your own PC, we'll find a link for you later on, and you can spend a lot of money. You can basically buy a used car or a custom gaming rig.
Sweet.
Actually, what you should buy is a new car.
Everybody should buy new cars. You gonna buy a new car?
I'd love to.
Everybody should buy a new car.
Actually,
well, just
I
so
want
happens.
This car.
Y'all really?
I really want. This would be my perfect computer.
The 2012 Ford Focus Electric?
Yes.
That's ironic because this show happens to be sponsored by Ford, and they are promoting the Ford Focus Electric. What you rode in it? So what? It has regenerate. This is an all electric vehicle, right?
Okay. So obviously, you know, Ford is a sponsor of Twitch. Ford is a sponsor of Twit. Ford is a sponsor of Techzilla. I'm not going to say I'm not biased, but I also have to say I got to have actually with Leo and Veronica and some other people dinner with some of Ford's crew, the president of Ford, Al Mulally, and their CTO. And it was interesting talking to them because Ford used to have 97 badges, 97 different distinct models, and it's down to 20, and they have basic hardware platforms. And somebody's like, well, aren't people going to give Ford a bunch of stuff about doing all these green electric cars? He's like, look, we build a basic platform. You can put a gas engine in it. You can put an EcoBoost engine with a turbocharged direct engine. You can put a diesel engine in it. You can put an electric engine in it, and it's smooth. It is nice.
Really?
Google got the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would like to be
you
in line.
You want the second one?
It would be the perfect Bay Area commuting vehicle.
So some of the features of it, regenerative braking system, it basically will capture up to 90% of the kinetic energy lost, puts it back into the battery. It has the unique sync features, but there are obviously changes to it for the EV cars, which is nice. I like the idea of the MyFord mobile smartphone app. Yeah. You can look on your phone. If you're inside, you can look at your phone. It's like, I wonder how far can I get in my electric car right now? How much is charge status?
It's
you
smart.
Access all that. Yeah.
Because it takes hours to recharge an electric vehicle. That's the nature of the beast.
Now, they do say they have, where is that one at? They can recharge in 3 to 4 hours with a 240 home volt charging station. That's actually pretty reasonable.
If you have a washer, dryer, electrical system, you have 240 volts in your house, you just need to tap a little bit of that over to charge the vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's actually fairly fast. I remember electric vehicles were like 8-10 hour charges overnight, and that's just way too long. It's funny. I mean, it's
100% electric. This does not have a gas engine, right?
No, 100%. A whole bunch of batteries, an electric motor. You need a wall socket. You need to plug it into the socket to make it run. And I guess they're taking actually reservations now. For the 2012 reservations are available now. So if you want one, you have to get online to wait for one. Actually, I should go get online to wait for one.
they're also talking about the 2013 Ford C-Max Energy. Mm-hmm. Is it Energy plug-in hybrid coming in fall 2013?
Yes.
Do you know what's different about that?
I want to say they have a pretty large battery supply, and they're trying to do the sort of 100 mile per gallon thing out of the box.
Okay.
In the idea, and it's funny because what's nice is I was talking with Veronica. She was talking about the Dyna. She's like, she hates the everybody wants to build a hybrid, and make it look like sort of a poorly designed spaceship.
Yes.
And this looks like every other Ford. They just put a different engine.
That's one of my things. Is you can tell a hybrid.
Right.
Immediately by looking at it, and that's not necessarily what people want.
Right.
People like cars. They like cars because of the way they look.
Yeah. And drive. Don't forget the way they drive.
Yeah.
I like to be able to take corners quickly in a happy pace.
these new cars also have the suite of driver information systems on board and off board, manage recharge process, determine the eco-friendly driving route to where you're going, which is nice, remote control vehicle charge and preconditioning settings, monitor battery state. They also have the ability to top off charges without reducing the lifespan of the batteries, which, since the batteries are a significant portion of the value of the car, is important, right? You want to make sure that you're not going to get, you have to replace batteries every 6 months.
That would be bad.
On this, right? That's
no. Years.
Yes.
Many years.
That's good.
Yes.
It's so, very good. Availability again of the 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for reservations now. Patrick's going to sign up. 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid, fall 2013. Specifications are subject to change with production vehicles. And learn more about the electric technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at ford.com/technology. Or you can come to CES because they have them all over out here.
There's a lot. And there's a Raptor out front, too.
Yes, I did like that. I walked by that. And I said, okay. It's not electric, but
but
it looks really nice.
And it drives really nice. So we should probably have to wrap pretty quickly.
You got a Bolt?
I got a Bolt. Should we talk about the Intel's continuing efforts to crack the cell phone market?
This time they finally got it.
Yeah, this is over
time
there
they
like,
finally got it.
That wasn't an eye roll, but that was really close.
Okay, look. So Intel had... I got to see their booth. I saw their smartphone reference design.
Okay. What'd you think?
The reference design, I mean, is pretty much, it's not spectacular. It's like, okay, it's an Android phone. Okay, that's nice. It's got an Atom Medfield processor, right? That's what they're calling it.
Right.
And I had to ask the guy, I'm like, look, you guys have been trying to crack this nut for a long time.
Right.
You can't get into phones because you use too much power.
Right.
We like Intel processors because they're really good. They take care of a lot of processing power. But you suck at batteries.
Right.
And
suck at batteries.
They suck at batteries.
Yeah.
That's
you know.
The thing.
But I mean, you know, this is Intel. It's 8-10 powers battery life. It's
but
like
you can have a gigantic battery on it. You don't want that on your phone.
But with the ARM stuff, they haven't. The ARM targeted market, the traditional cell phone market, you're right. They
There's
have
so
not delivered the power performance.
On the ARM side. And they
you just
got
to think of these architectures were built for completely different subjects, right? So Intel is taking time, maybe more time than some people expected. I don't feel like it was more time than expected, but it's more time than they said it was going to take to get down to the power levels they need to get to. I mean, that Motorola announcement is pretty significant, though.
Motorola announcement.
So Motorola announced that there's a multi-year deal to bring phones, Motorola phones using Intel x86 processors.
I completely missed that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that. When was the Motorola keynote?
It was at the Intel keynote last night that they announced
that's
it.
That's
why.
Okay, they said to me in the morning, come back at 4:30. There's going to be something else here.
They call it a multi-year strategic partnership with Motorola. They should be shipping out phones with Intel processors inside the second half of this year.
So Motorola, who's clawing their way back into significance in the cell phone market, is partnering with Intel, who desperately wants a toehold in the cell phone market. And we'll see if Intel can deliver a processor with battery life that anybody wants to design without Motorola building a phone that has a 4-pound brick battery attached to it.
Right.
Or maybe am I
being cynical?
A new line of retro phones for Motorola. Don't forget they have that giant brick phone we used to have, or the one that had the extra bag. Anybody could actually
a shoulder
spin
bag
it.
Intel phone.
Exactly. That it would last for 3 hours. No.
That's all day phone battery life.
While I'm being cynical, Radeon HD7970, were there any available? Did they
apparently
sell out?
There were at least a few, because another website checked at 6:30 in the morning and there were some available.
Huh.
At 9:30 in the morning there were none.
Okay.
Doesn't really tell you a whole lot because we don't know how many they sold through.
Right.
All I know is as of this morning, that was yesterday, the 7970 that we talked about a couple weeks ago finally released on January 9th for sale to consumers, but they're still expensive and they're still out of stock, which is bad news all around. I think I found one at Amazon. It was like $650 or something like that, so even $100 over its MSRP, which is already pretty high. You know, AMD's being really cagey. They don't want to say how many they shipped. They don't want to say how many they sold. It's kind of up to us to try to guess.
Right.
I'm guessing they didn't sell more than a few thousand of these.
Right.
And how quickly they come back in stock is really going to be important, because
that tells you whether or not they are having yield issues, as they occasionally do at the launch. Occasionally,
and the problem is
GPU.
AMD promised us. They said, "Yes, here we're going to have a bunch at launch, and then it's going to we might sell out, but we will have continuous streams of them before NVIDIA gets their products out the door." And this, again, we're in day two, essentially.
Right.
So we'll have to see. But it doesn't look pretty, right? Because I can't imagine that there are tens and tens of thousands of people willing to spend $555 on a graphics card day one.
Right.
There's just not that many people. So if they're not in stock now, at least we believe that there was a very, very minimal quantity.
We wait with bated breath.
Yeah. Oh, and there's one last thing I wanted to show. This is actually really cool. This was at the AMD booth. This is a CPU cooling heatsink with a
really
computer
cool. Get it?
Built in. I see what I did there. So this is a Cooler Master cooler, a big CPU cooler, right? Looks nice, except it's got this weird power cable coming out of it. It turns out there's a micro or nano ITX motherboard in there with an AMD E350 processor inside the cooler. So they basically took the fan housing and they took the fan guts out of it and put the nano ITX motherboard in there. It uses 18 watts of power. It's DX11 capable, and it's got, you can see, look there here at the bottom, it's got USB, HDMI, it's got all those outputs, and it's pretty impressive.
Is that a case mod for personal amusement or something they actually intend on selling?
No, they're not selling it. It is a proof of concept. See, they're just trying to say, look what you can do with this hardware, and you still have, they showed it playing back 1080p video, and you could do really basic
DX11 substituted the massive ATX motherboard that Ryan Shroud used to for a tiny, discreet device that fits in the space of
like
a single cooler.
PC, a PC in a PC.
Right. Every heatsink inside your computer is now a computer.
Great. Now I have the
and then we've got to keep going, though.
Now I'm hearing like
every fan blade on that fan and that heatsink is now another computer.
That would be awesome.
Inception is not a good movie to start thinking about when you're in Las Vegas at CES. Yeah, what's coming up on TNT this afternoon?
Tech News Today, I was taking a look at the lineup, and I'm seeing the Motorola thing, which I completely missed again because I went out last night. We've got that Intel with its mobile partners. Amazon saying some nice things about Ultraviolet. I got to find out what's going on there. Dell going to go back into the tablet market.
Why?
You will see my disappointment
further
at 2:30.
Intel keeps going back after the mobile market. Dell can keep going after the tablet market.
Yeah.
Dell's like Wile E. Coyote sometimes, man.
Microsoft keeps going back at the cell phone market. Sometimes you just want to own the next big thing.
Microsoft, I think, is crazy because they've had success. Dell and the tablet thing?
Yeah.
Not so much. But yeah, that's what's coming up at TNT at 2:30 live. I'll be sitting over there.
Oh, my goodness. PCPer.com posting constantly.
Yeah, we've got a lot more CES stuff on the hardware front. PCPer.com/CES you can go to, and you'll see all of our stories that we've posted from the show here. And if you're going to ask me what's coming up next week, I have no idea because it all depends on what gadgets I'm allowed to put in my bag once I leave the show floor. You never know.
That's why you have a really big bag.
I said allowed to take. in the bag, too. I'm not just
going to
steal stuff.
Yeah. Ryan is not sneaking around with a large knapsack practicing.
I bring multiple duffel bags.
I think eventually security would stop.
Did we have another Ultrabook here? No. No, never saw it.
Where's that redheaded kid?
So, Techzilla, doing a lot of CES coverage too?
Yeah, revision3.com/CES. We had like 85 videos plus a live show up last night.
Cool.
And I think we're over 100 and something videos this morning.
We don't have that many videos. We've been doing a nightly podcast though.
That's cool.
The later they get, the more you've had to drink, the more interesting the podcasts turn out to be.
Interesting?
It is, yeah.
Okay, good.
Where are you guys podcasting from?
Just the hotel room.
Nice.
We brought a little mini mixer, and we brought a Heil and a couple of other mics. And
daiquiris and hardware.
Just sitting there. Yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah, it was fun.
It's a good thing. Yeah, the live shows are just, we're just doing stuff on the show floor. And are you enjoying the live from the show floor experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fun thing about CES, and this is something I don't think gets shown very often, there's a lot of crazy like contests that go on here, little game show stuff. You're trying to walk down an aisle, and then there'll be somebody like SanDisk giving away like just little SD cards, but they'll make people like dance and yell.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of energy here, even when... Even though there's a lot of us walking around and our feet are tired, but there's so much energy in the little things. And Spec has a bar.
So, oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, see, now if you didn't know, go to Spec. The bar is open. Well, it was open at a certain time. But, yeah, it's giving out beer. So there's a lot of fun stuff.
Cool. Revision3.com/CES, PCPer.com, and...
Just stay on Twit Live.
There you go.
I think that's it for this edition of Twitch. I'm Patrick Norton.
I'm Ryan Trout.
I'm Isaac Tarr.
We'll see you next week on Twitch.